WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Fun Friday. Fun Friday brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, celebrating their 40th anniversary this weekend with a couple of great events we'll talk about later. But also, a great event is happening right here in New Bedford, too, this evening. If you've got a young kid in your life who loves to read, especially if they like monsters, if they like horror, this is the book for them, but also this is the opportunity for them, because one of the things I loved when I was a kid and I was a voracious reader was when authors or illustrators would come into our school and talk to us about the books that they've written. You got a chance to actually meet them and maybe get your own copy of the book signed. And that's happening tonight right here in New Bedford. But not only that, for you folks who grew up watching Poltergeist 1, Poltergeist 2, you're actually going to get to meet Oliver Robbins, who played Robbie in those movies. You know, the people like to talk about what Carol Ann went through, you know, going in the TV and then having to get rescued from the closet and having Reverend Kane chasing her for three movies. Nobody had it as bad as Robbie did. He got eaten by a tree, choked by a clown, and his braces attacked him. I mean, come on. So Oliver Robbins is going to be here along with his co-author, Dustin Warburton, and the illustrator of the book, Jared Gagnon. And there we've got Dustin and Jared joining us now on the phone. We were going to have Oliver, but he's got some travel issues getting here, but that's all right. We want him to get here because he's going to be in Salem today, New Bedford tonight. We're going to talk about all that right now with Dustin and with Jared. Let's start off with Dustin. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you, Tim?
We're doing all right. I'm just going to lock you in there and let me bring on Jared. Good morning, Jared. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. All right. Well, it's great having you both here. And I want to, first of all, before we get into the book, let's talk a little bit about your backgrounds. Dustin, I know you're an author and a writer, and you've been involved in all kinds of different projects.
Yeah. I started as a young adult horror writer. And my first book came out 19 years ago. And then my third book was a children's book called My Brother Eats Spiders. And it was about my boys. And that just shifted the whole trajectory of my career. And now I look back and, God, I think I'm up to almost like 20 books, probably over a dozen kids' books at this point. But I've been really fortunate enough to collaborate with a lot of incredible people. And I think some of the best collaborations I've had in the past was I wrote a kid's book with Dennis Rodman a long time ago. That was pretty wild. I've written kid's books with Tom Holland, the movie director of Fright Night, Child's Play, John Amos, the actor. My most recent kid's book I had co-written with Barbara Eden.
Wow. So, I mean, and it is different writing kids books. People look at a kids book and say, wow, that must be easy to write because you're writing for kids that, you know, don't have as high of a reading level yet. So, you know, but I've often tried to write a children's book myself and I found I can't do it. It's a lot harder than writing for adults.
It really is, you know, and I guess for me, it just kind of just happened. And when I was in college, you know, I've been writing since I was a little kid and I learned in college that my strength was in short pieces. I was never a novelist. And so I found that, you know, I was really good at writing short stories, short horror stories. And I think that translated into children's books. So, because I've always loved kids' books. And somehow I found a formula and a method to make it work. And yeah, I'm really grateful for it all.
And Jared, how about yourself? Give us an overview of your career.
Sure. Well, this is my first big project. I'm a freelance artist and illustrator. I lurked and did a bunch of conventions, sold art and whatnot. But like I said, this is my first big project. So that's very exciting.
I mean, the art that you've done, have you done things that are geared toward kids before, or was this the first time that you've gone for a younger audience?
No, this would be the first time, because I usually I do illustrations that are more for an older audience, you know, because I'm a horror artist myself. So, but it was really fun to sort of, twist it and adapt it into this sort of colorful and like weird, bizarre sort of popping art. And it was really fun to work on, I have to say.
And I can imagine you're trying to think, like, how can I convey the idea? Because we're going to get into what the book's about. But how can I convey the idea of monsters, but also make it approachable for kids that, you know, might not necessarily be monster kids?
Yeah, it wasn't too hard. It wasn't, because when you see the book, you'll know what I'm talking about. When you see the pictures, the illustrations, the colors, I was really able to sort of adapt that into a, like, if I was a kid, I'd go for that book. And I've shown a bunch of people that, and they'd say the same thing, because it pops out and is very, very attractive to look at, for sure.
And Dustin, I love the story of how this book came together and how Oliver was inspired to write this. Kind of walk us through that process, because I think, you know, it shows that this wasn't an idea of an adult saying, you know what, I think I'm going to write a kid's book. This was an adult that was inspired by kids to write this book.
Yeah, you know, it was a combination of multiple things. And, you know, Oliver and I have been good friends for almost 10 years. And for about the last 5 years, we've been working on several different film concepts. And as you know, in film is very difficult, you know, and there's no, you know, you could work on something for 10 years and it never gets made. So last summer, we kind of hit a point where there was a little, you know, not frustration, but it was kind of like this moment where, God, like, we haven't got anything out yet. You know, Oliver hadn't made a movie in about 5 years and I was looking back at my last kid's book. It had been a couple of years since I written one. And I just said to Oliver, you know, let's do a kid's book. Let's take a break from film for a moment. And you're a writer. You're a storyteller. Children's books are the same thing. You just, it's just kind of this type of twist the format. And then when we were trying to come up with ideas, Oliver was at a convention. And, you know, these little kids were telling him how Poltergeist wasn't scary. And something resonated with him about monsters not being scary anymore. And he came to me with that. And my background is, I'm actually a behaviorist. In addition to writing books and movies, I've been a social worker for 15 years, case management. So I do a lot of work with elderly. And somehow this idea came up where, you know, what if we have famous movie monsters living in a retirement home and they're forgotten about? The world has forgotten them. And kind of that's how it all came. It's just one of those things where it just flowed. I mean, because the funny thing is Oliver and I had written a couple kids' stories before we even wrote this. This just came out of nowhere. And we knew we had something. You know, it was one of those things where when I look back at all the projects I've worked on, you know, I love them all. I'm proud of them all. But there's something special about this concept that really resonated with us, you know?
And Jared, when they brought you the concept, what the story was about, what did you think of that plot line and being able to work in that world?
I thought it was very fun because it did kind of lend itself to my art style. And when they showed me the story, you know, I was immediately able to sort of envision, like, what they were writing about. And just the characters and the world itself is very interesting, and it was really nice to see it come alive. But it was an easy flow, you know? It wasn't hard at all.
Well, and Dustin, you know, you made a point there when you said that these kids told Oliver that Poltergeist wasn't scary. And that was the first horror movie I was shown when I was a kid. I think a lot of people, especially in the 80s, well, it's just, you know, Steven Spielberg produced it. It's got to be, you know, good for families. And I think a lot of people kind of got their introduction to horror through that film. But now when you do look at it, you see it's not a horror movie. about a family. It's a family movie that also has some elements of horror. What do you think it is about that movie that resonates, and why kids look at it and say they like the movie, but they're not scared by the movie?
Well, I think it's a combination of things, too, where, you know, I'm a child of the 80s, too, right? So, like, I grew up with Poltergeist and Gremlins and all of this stuff. And I was never scared of Poltergeist as a kid. But, you know, it's funny, the things that scared me as a kid, I was kind of scared of E.T., if that makes sense. Like, the beginning of E.T. for some reason creeped me out. But I think these days, I do think kids have been exposed to more things than we were. I mean, in the 80s, you know, I mean, Poltergeist is PG, which is insane if
right.
you think about it,
yeah.
you know? I mean, it's one of the movies that kind of molded the PG-13 landscape. But something that I learned... going to schools with some of my young adult horror stories, I would have fifth graders tell me, this isn't scary. And I'm like, oh my God, like I wrote this for adults trying to be scary. And I just think it's a combination of kids are seeing different things these days. It's all about kind of shock value. I think I kind of jokingly say The Walking Dead desensitized people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you just look at the movies, you know, it's almost like how far can we go? You know, what can we do? And I think there's something in that in terms of where Poltergeist really stands true to me is that it's got that Spielberg-esque adventure feel to it, you know? But at the same time, it's got this really scary element of ghosts and the kid being gone and a family having to deal with something unknown. And I think that will always resonate with people, you know, to this day.
But what was great about it is it never lost sight of the fact that it was, you know, the family united together against this. And so you never really felt, at least when I watched the film, I never really felt like, you know, the family's not going to make it out of this because their love and their belief in each other was kind of what carried it through. And now I see little kids walking around dressed as Art the Clown. And I'm like, wait, you let your kids watch Terrifier? And the parents say, well, when you were their age, didn't you watch Nightmare on Elm Street? And I was like, okay, yeah, you're right. Like, I guess it kind of is every generation becomes a little bit more and more desensitized to what you can see in those horror movies because they become classics and everybody's seen them. So it becomes something that, you know, you don't really have that same shock value. I showed my son The Exorcist when he was like 12 and he just looked at it and he goes, Dad, that movie was so cheesy. I was like,
well, you know, I have a 14-year-old daughter, and I, you know, obviously I love horror, so I make her watch horror films with me, and she likes them. But, you know, I see that from the newer generation where they think some of the older movies are just cheesy, you know. But I think as kids get older, too, they'll start to respect some of the old stuff. And, I mean, for me, I think Poltergeist is one of the greatest scary films out there, you know, and I'm not, like, all the respect to the Terrifier clan, because I think what they've done is great, but that I've never watched them. That's not my cup of tea. Like, I do love, like, 80s B horror film, you know, like, The Stuff. I don't know if you ever seen that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that type of stuff, but for me, it's like, I don't really get any enjoyment out of just, like, senseless kills and murders, you know? That doesn't really appeal to me, so, but... As you see, Terrifier is kind of tapped into something and it's kind of hit really big, you know, but I'm hoping that we kind of get back to the old school way of the storytelling with a slow burn, because now it seems like I think social media and I think everyone's attention span has been altered in these last several years because people don't have attention spans like they used to. People don't want to see that slow burn of knowing the characters, having everything set up. It's like you got to get right into the action immediately. And, you know, I think that's, for me, that's where the Spielberg-esque stories really, really appeal because it's just, there's more value in that for me, you know?
No, absolutely. And I think we're getting to the point where, you know, we do need that story. We do need that, and we need resolution. So many of these horror movies just have horrible endings. They have great setups, but then they don't deliver at the end. And that was what was so great about the Poltergeist films, at least one and two, is you got that sense of closure at the end, but also, you know, leaving the door open. And I've got ideas for, there should be, I've got a prequel and a sequel idea that I don't know why Hollywood hasn't made them yet. But anyway, Jared, what was it that shaped your love of horror? What was it that inspired you?
Oh, man. So I watched a lot of horror movies when I was younger. And I will add, E.T. scared me, too, when I was younger.
Yeah, just the idea of aliens freaks me out, so.
Yeah, but it was a lot of horror movies that I watched, and it really sort of just, I found it interesting. And a lot of my art sort of stems from, like weird body horror sort of stuff, stuff like that, and things that sort of twist and shape reality into this eldritch thing. I think that is what sort of shaped my my love for the theme and the media itself.
Well, of course, in addition to being able to get the book today, people are going to be able to talk with you guys about horror. Dustin, give us all the details. I know you're in Salem earlier today and then coming to New Bedford later. So what can people expect when they come to these events?
Oh, God. Well, you know, we're going to be there talking with people, signing books, you know, and I mean, we're going to be in Salem from noon to 2, I believe, at Harrison's Comics. And then we're going to be at the Horror Family in New Bedford right around 6 o'clock-ish tonight. But and I know Oliver has a bunch of Poltergeist photos for sale, too. So if people want to get signed photos from Oliver, they're going to have a chance.
And he's such a great guy to talk to. I got to meet him at TerrorCon last year. And so anybody that wants to come up and talk about Poltergeist with him, he'd love to do that. I actually showed up in a Poltergeist shirt I got at another convention, and he said he'd never seen that shirt. It was the guy who pulls his face off in the bathroom mirror. And so he took a picture of that, and he's like, well, I'm going to send this to the actor who played him. I don't know if he's ever seen this. I was like, oh, my God. Like, what a cool moment.
That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you something cool that happened this past weekend was our book premiere was in Los Angeles this past weekend. So I flew out there for it, and we on our signing on Sunday, Toby Hooper's son showed up to the signing.
Wow. That's incredible.
And I had no idea that Toby Hooper's son was a special effects guy who had worked on a ton of movies. And he had created the Mangler and I can't remember who directed it, but I know Robert Englund was in it. But he'd worked on Life Force, he'd worked on a dozen movies, but it was pretty cool to see a bunch of Oliver's friends show up and support him. Because you know Oliver went to film school. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but as a child, Oliver was 10 years old on the set of Poltergeist. And he literally had Spielberg and Toby Hooper at his, you know, helping him along the whole way. That experience molded his whole career. He gave up acting and went to USC Film School and became a director and a screenwriter. So it's really interesting to see how that film really molded his life, you know?
And did you get to visit the house with him while you were out there?
I didn't, unfortunately, but Oliver did go out there recently. He had gone out there and spent some time in the house. And I do believe on Oliver's Facebook page, they just put a little promo cut, a little commercial of Oliver in the house for the first time in 45 years.
So I'm planning on getting out there and maybe doing some ghost hunting events with the owner. And maybe we'll bring Oliver in for one of those. It might be fun for people to, you know, check and see if there's actually really ghosts there with the person who was terrorized by the fictional ghosts.
Well, you definitely let me know when you do that, because I think I would make a trip out there for that as well. I told Oliver, too, I'm dying to get to the house, you know, so the next time I go to L.A., I'd love to, but that sounds fun, most definitely.
Well, we'll definitely stay in touch, and hopefully I'll see you guys tonight at the Horror Family LLC here in New Bedford, 6 o'clock. Thank you both so much for joining us, and we wish you all the luck in the world with the book.
Thank you for having us on, Tim.
Thanks, guys. All right, I got to go to a break because I know you guys are waiting for your Money Talks cash code. It's the last day for Money Talks, so your last 10 codes to try to win $1,000. We'll give that to you right now, and then we'll be back with the news.
Every day, you can make the money talk. This is your chance to win $1,000.
199. 199. Enter the code right now on WBSM.com or on the WBSM app.
Money Talks on WBSM. Broadcasting live from the Carefree Homes studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your local family-owned home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com to make your house a carefree home.
All right, before we go into the news, I just want to remind you all that the place to be this weekend, if you're looking for great food, great drinks, and great times, is Ryan's Sports Pub and Billiards inside the Whalers Inn and Suites, 500 Hathaway Road in New Bedford. It's a really relaxed, chill place where you can hang out while they have all kinds of fun things going on. They, you know, they do trivia on Thursday nights. I saw that they were having some trivia there. One of these nights, I'm going to skip bowling and I'm going to come there and dominate trivia. But they also have, of course, their big Halloween party that's going to be happening on October 31st. And you can find out more about that on their Facebook page. Plus, you can always find out all their great specials, like loaded spuds. How about the turkey BLT wrap? And don't forget, too, when it's football Sundays, they've got great deals as well. 50-cent wings, $6 sliders. They've got drink specials, all kinds of stuff. So the best thing to do is follow them on Facebook, Ryan's Pub NB, and you will get all the latest deals and specials and information, and then just go down there and hang out. It's a different vibe. It's relaxed. You walk in there and you feel like it's your place, even if it's the first time you've ever been there. That's the way that I felt the first time that I walked in, and you will feel it too. Check them out. Ryan's Sports Pub and Billiards, located inside the Whalers Inn and Suites, 500 Hathaway Road in New Bedford. Let's go into the newsroom now and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
A teen charged with an Amber Alert hoax in Florida. Hundreds evacuated after flooding in Alaska. And dolphins showing signs of Alzheimer's disease. From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News. A Florida teen is facing charges after allegedly faking his own abduction and triggering an Amber Alert. Deputies say the 17-year-old staged a shooting, damaged his phone, and fled on a bicycle with camping gear. He was later found with a handgun and self-inflicted gunshot wounds to the leg. The teen is now charged with presenting false evidence, making a false police report, as well as illegal possession of a firearm. A large collection of stolen ballots was found in a homeless encampment. Phil Hewlett says the ballots were never cast.
The Sacramento County Sheriff's Office says 99 ballots were found among other mail items that were discovered during an encampment cleanup. The ballots were voided and new ballots are being sent to the affected voters. The encampment was empty at the time, so no arrests were made. I'm Phil Hewlett.
Federal networks are being targeted by hackers. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency issued a statement explaining that government networks have become the target of an unidentified nation-state cyber threat actor that's trying to exploit vulnerabilities in products made by the cybersecurity company F5. Measles cases continue to rise across the U.S.
Cases are at a record high in the United States. The U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention says there have been an average of 27 new cases each week since the end of August. So far this year, the CDC says there have been 44 outbreaks. There were just 16 all of last year. The annual total is now above 1,500, the highest since measles was declared eliminated in the U.S. in 2000. I'm Jim Roop.
People might actually reach their mental and emotional peak around age 60. That's according to new research that finds that while physical strength declines after the mid-20s, intelligence, personality, emotional intelligence, and decision-making continue improving, reaching a peak around 60. The findings were published in the journal Intelligence. Passengers on one airline will soon have to pay more if they want to recline their seat. Emily Ikeda reports that WestJet, which serves 19 U.S. states as well as Washington, D.C., will make that change as it refurbishes plane cabins.
The Canadian airline says fixed recline will help preserve personal space. Adding in a statement, our refreshed cabin caters to our guests' diverse preferences, whether they opt for premium seating with extra amenities and legroom or for more affordable ticket prices with less space.
Industry observers say other airlines will likely be watching, and if the strategy is successful, it could lead to other carriers adopting that.
Some dolphins are showing signs of Alzheimer's-like disease.
Studies of the brains of Indian River Lagoon dolphins that died during algae blooms had more toxins and neurodegeneration than those that beached in non-bloom seasons.
Dolphins are basically sentinels for what's in our environment.
University of Miami neurotoxicologist Dr. David Davis says the toxins target certain brain cells.
Those parts that it targeted in a dolphin are similar to those in humans. So we do know if humans are exposed to this toxin, they may respond the same way. But that's going to take a little more research.
And knowing the long-term effects of these toxins, he believes we should take seriously any posted warning about algae blooms. Eric Rodriguez, Miami.
Founding member of KISS, Ace Frehley, is dead at the age of 74. His death was confirmed in a statement from his family. Frehley was the lead guitarist for the band and an occasional lead vocalist. TMZ reported his family was considering taking him off life support earlier in the day. Yesterday, Frehley suffered a brain bleed from a fall he took at his studio a few weeks ago. The Black Phone 2 is looking to scare up millions at the box office this weekend. The sequel, starring Ethan Hawke as a serial killer called The Grabber, is looking to make $23 to $29 million in its debut weekend. The first Black Phone debuted with $23 million in 2021. Meanwhile, Good Fortune, starring Keanu Reeves, is eyeing $6 to $8 million in its first week.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
Bruins fell to the Golden Knights in Vegas last night, 6-5. Bees have the night off. They go to Colorado tomorrow to take on the Avalanche at 9 p.m.
Now, your WPRI 12 forecast. Brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
Well, very nice weather over the next several days. Sunshine today, still breezy, but at least it's dry. High temperature around 61. Clear skies tonight, less wind. 50s in the evening, dropping down to 40 during the overnight. Beautiful this weekend. Sunshine both Saturday and Sunday, around 63 Saturday. Milder on Sunday at 65. We'll bring in some gusty wind and scattered showers and a few downpours by Monday. For WBSM, I'm 12 News Chief Meteorologist Tony Petracca.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
And it is time now to check in with Eric over at the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. There we go. Good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
Hey, Tim. What's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's definitely fall out there. It feels like fall, and I'm sure you get some great stuff cooking up over there at the butcher shop.
Oh, yeah. It's brisk outside, man. It's real brisk. Yep. Today's kale soup for a lot of people, hot roast, stuff like that, I would think.
I've been telling everybody to go get some celebrity pork chops with some applesauce, maybe some apple stuffing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are the best. Those chops are great, man. Everybody buys those. We sell a lot of those, man. It's good.
And of course, people can also warm up with some of the stuff that you have downstairs, too.
Oh, yeah, a lot of stuff. Today's fried fish day. We do a lot of fish today. We got the mackerels, the smelts, sardines, got the fillets, stuff like that. A lot of stuff going on. It goes. Got nice chestnuts. I got tomahawks, terrace major. I got porterhouse, ribeyes, sirloin, chuck roast. I got everything, brother. I got spare ribs, pork ribs. Beef ribs, I got shoulders for boiled dinner. A lot of two people doing what do you call that? Yeah, like boiled dinner.
Yeah.
They're doing that now.
Yes, my grandmother used to make the smoked shoulder all the time. Loved it.
Oh, that's cool, man. Heats up the house too for free.
Right. It beats turning the heat on. And then, of course, that's also a meal that you can make that'll not only warm you up that night, but you get leftovers out of it. You can be eating it for a couple of days.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's less work to do.
And of course, you know, we've got Halloween right around the corner. People might be having parties. They can always order up a platter if they want to put out some food for folks.
Yeah, good mention then. Yeah, you're right. I got party platters, all kinds of stuff. I got meat packages. You got whatever you want, man.
See, they make it easy for you at the butcher shop.
We try.
Well, you work hard so that it's easy for us.
Yeah, I'm tired.
All right. Well, we'll let you get back to it. Thanks, Eric.
All right, I'll talk to you, brother.
All right, check out the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, for everything that you need. All that great, delicious food that he just mentioned and so much more. It's a real old-school neighborhood market, and it really is like a neighborhood butcher. So they're going to get to know you. They're going to get to know exactly how you like everything. Trust me, once you shop there, you're going to say, I wish it was like this everywhere. All right, let's take a phone call here, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You are on WBSM.
Hey, Mr. Weisberg.
Hello. I'm glad you were able to call back.
Oh, me too. I'm looking out my window right now. There's about 12 or 13 cars parked at the Wheeltooth parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
I see school buses going by. I see a Harvey dump truck, guess garbage truck. So it looks like, I hope the sun does come out. I had my walk. It was good, but I think I'm going to want to do some more. We have a good weekend coming. The radio just said it.
Yeah.
Sun Saturday and Sunday, so I'll be out there. And I know I hear people talking about sometimes when they walk, it's how many steps they take. They get this little meter thing. I don't know if I should get one or not. I walk about 45 minutes each time, and sometimes I do it twice a day. I think there's enough steps in there, but if I want to be nosy to know how much, you know, how many steps, I don't know if I'll bother with it. I don't even know what that costs. Did I spend
You can get a little pedometer at Walmart for like $5 or $10.
That's not too bad. The main reason I called is because this latest news about the 14-year-old girl.
Oh, at the school, yeah.
Her actions caused the death of this poor lady. Now, I know she caused a death. I just hope that whenever they punish her for whatever, I don't believe she should be in jail forever. She's 14. She came from probably a very dysfunctional home. I don't know what this is why I'm calling to say I hope that they investigate everything about her, where she came from. Does she have two parents? Were they present in the home all the time? How did she get the way she is? And there's no doubt she's on some kind of a med. You know how I feel about that. But I never said that people don't need it. There are people that do need it. But I'm willing to bet you, without even knowing the whole story, that she's probably been on more than one type of medication. A lot of medications make these teenagers worse than they would be if they didn't take it. But and she's in a home. They live in that place. Is that what they said?
It's a residential school. Yeah.
And what city is that? Is that Fall River?
Swansea.
Well, Swansea, well, not too far. But I mean, I'm sorry that woman died, but I'm sorry for this girl too. 14 years old. What do they know? What does she even know about life? And what are her circumstances? I need more of that story, and as it goes along, I don't even know. After a while, they put a story, and then you don't hear nothing anymore.
Right. Well, and like I was saying earlier, like, you know, the DA's office has to look at what the intent was. I think that's why, you know, they're still investigating. So we'll see if maybe there are some more serious charges that come out. But I mean, it doesn't sound like she meant to harm this person. And that it sounds like she was just kind of, you know, they're trying to restrain her and she's kicking and screaming and kicked her right in the chest and the wrong spot at the wrong time.
Oh, I can't imagine, boy. I mean, that's probably why they're calling it manslaughter, not like murder. 1, 2, 3.
Just to be fair, the only thing she's been charged with right now is assault and battery, causing serious bodily harm. There's no manslaughter charge. I said something they could pursue, but I don't know that they will.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we know it wasn't planned, so they couldn't say murder, right? It wasn't planned, or it wasn't planned.
Right. I think it would be manslaughter if they were going to go that far, but I don't know if they will.
So she's a girl that just wanted to leave the building and go outside. That what it was.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't really give details as to what she was trying to do, but they just said she was trying to leave the dorm, and they were telling her that she couldn't, and then this altercation ensued.
You know, a lot of places like that, not all, but there are places that exist where there's abuse going on right inside places like that, too. I mean, back in the 70s, I remember lots of stories. One in Fall River, actually. St. Vincent's Home, especially. That's the one I'm talking about. I mean, I remember a lot going on back then. And during the time of the highway killings and everything else, I mean, I don't know. I know your friend Aaron Cadeau. I spoke to him one time. He came here for a different reason altogether. He knows what it is. But he came here to ask questions from me and my brother-in-law. And when that was over, I was under the impression, he told me he was making a documentary about those highway, and I'm still waiting for it. I'm going back maybe almost 10 years.
So I can give you the latest on that. So he actually He kind of already has made the documentary. It's just now it's a matter of being able to get a distribution, being able to secure the rights for all of the, you know, the images that he uses in there, the newspaper articles, news clips, things like that. So that's where they're at.
Oh, I see. Oh, it really took a lot of years. I waited all these years, you know?
I haven't seen the latest cut because they kind of changed some things around, but I've seen different cuts of it over the years, and it's excellent.
He did give me the link to his website when he came in. Every so often, I take a peek in there, and I should go in there more now because you're saying it's getting close. So I think I'll go in there and maybe I'll see him again one day and talk to him.
Well, maybe I'll have him pop on the show soon and he can give us an update.
Oh, that'd be nice, yeah. All right, so I'll let you go because now I better run around. I've got a few more things to do, and it's Friday.
Well, you have a nice weekend.
Hot dogs. These hot dogs.
Yeah, come on down. Teenies and weenies later on tonight.
I know, but I'll just have to dig the hot dog out of the bun. That'd be looking.
That's fine. That's fine. They'll give you a hot dog without a bun.
Yeah, they will, huh?
Sure. They do it all the time.
Well, when I happen to walk in there, I hope you're there so you can pay for it.
I will. I'm going to be there at 5, but I'm probably going to leave by 6 so I can go meet Oliver.
Oh, today? Oh, I don't know about
today. Well, you can go tomorrow. Tomorrow they're going to have the whole family fun day.
It's an idea.
They'll have a petting zoo. You can see the animals. I know you love animals.
What kind?
I don't know. Probably like little ponies and stuff.
You mean I can't just go there and know that I'm going to see an elephant or a kangaroo or something?
I don't think they're going to have an elephant at D's Hot Dogs.
Well, I know Don Weller ain't giving me no panda bears there, but...
Definitely not a panda bear. All right, you have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, I got to take a break here. And before we do, when we come back, I'll give you some details about what they're doing at D's Hot Dogs to celebrate the 40th anniversary. But before I take this break, I just want to let you know, because we're talking a lot about turning the heat on, about your electric bills, your gas bills, and upgrading your home's energy efficiency can feel overwhelming. But with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions, whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high-efficiency heat pumps. They even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. So trust the team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your comfort and savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting. All right, we'll be back in just a moment right after the break. I see Sketty's on hold. We'll get to you when we come back as well.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Homes studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your local family-owned home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com to make your house a carefree home.
Rest in peace, Ace Frehley, and play some Kiss, play some of Ace's solo stuff in honor of him today. And maybe you can play that while you're working in the kitchen, right? But then you're standing there in your kitchen and you're saying, this doesn't look good. I want to redo this. I'm tired of looking at this drab kitchen. I want an update. And now is the time to do that. And Precision Window and Kitchen, they have all new color and styles of cabinetry to choose from. They also have countertops and hardware that you won't find anywhere else. Really great designs to kind of modernize or maybe even give you that throwback look you're looking for. And don't forget, too, they also supply and install windows and doors. Very important this time of year when you might need some extra weatherproofing around those to make sure that you're not letting those drafts get in. So visit their website, precisionwindowandkitchen.com, to find out more. Precisionwindowandkitchen.com, or give them a call, 508-990-3576. And Sketty, before I take your call real quick, just want to remind everybody tonight, Teenies and Weenies at D's Hot Dogs. That's going to be happening from 5 to 8. They're going to have a cash bar, small bites, a DJ, and plenty of memories to share. They want you to come and sign their memory wall. But then really, the big day is tomorrow. 12 to 3, they're going to have face painting by Silly Faces by Sarah. At 3 p.m., they're going to have birthday cake for everybody. And from 4 to 6 p.m., they're going to have a petting zoo from Blazing Saddles. And it's a free event. Come on down and have fun for free to celebrate the 40th anniversary of D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. And I'll hopefully see you over there for a little bit of that time anyway with all the stuff I got going on. But let's take a call here before we got to wrap things up. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Well, hello, my beloved.
Good morning.
You've had a great week.
A busy
one. Absolutely. Oh, my God. This has been a great week for you. You really crushed it. And I have to say, Mary, you are so funny. Elephants. I don't think they can get an elephant there. But, yeah, so I'm thinking alpacas.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's going to be one block, like where the car wash is.
Yeah, I think that. So Dee told me they're going to be shutting down the street. So I'm assuming that that's what they mean is right over there.
Yeah, just right. And then because there's a one-way road right behind there that where everybody can get, you know, if they got to get going one way or the other. But yeah, how exciting for them. I think I'm going to have to go and see the animals.
There you go.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's my thing. So, and I also want to say, what a great interview. Those two gentlemen were so easy to interview, so forthcoming and everything. Like, I was just into it.
I wish Oliver could have joined them. He's great, too. You'll love talking to him if you get a chance to go over to the Horror Family tonight and get a book.
Oh, my gosh. I wish. I can't. My friends, they got a seasonal cottage, and they're leaving Hyannis. They got to head back upstate New York. So I will be hanging with them tonight, doing some bodily damage.
Well, you know what? You can call over to the Horror Family and say, I'm going to come and get a book tomorrow. Have them sign one for me. I'll pick it up tomorrow. And they'll do that for
you. You are so busy. You are so busy. Like, this is your season for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to face planting on November 1st. So,
and I want to say, you had a caller way earlier in the morning talking about Ian Abram. I just wanted to say, I got the opportunity to meet him finally. And his mom and his stepdad. I got the opportunity to meet a few people because I went and held up signs for Leo Chiquette.
I saw you on Leo's Facebook page, yeah.
Yeah, I told him to delete those pictures. I was so haggard. My friends from Hyannis came up that night.
Oh, you looked fine, but Leo was haggard, so.
No, Leo was handsome. Handsome, wicked handsome. But yeah, they came up that weekend because we thought that was going to be their last weekend here. And they came up and they were going to hit the road from here.
I hate to cut you off, but I got to get a break in here.
I got to go.
I'm sorry.
Nope, it's okay. It's okay. No biggie.
Right.
Anyways, you just have a wonderful weekend. Everybody have a rule of a weekend. Make the best of it.
And you too.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, I got to get this break in. We'll do that. We'll be right back. And before I let you go and turn things over to Chris McCarthy in South Coast now, and maybe I'll see you later on tonight at 7 p.m. at the Freetown Police Department Community Room, where I'll be talking about the Bridgewater Triangle, and I think they're going to have the Puckwudgie Crossing sign out. But speaking of crossing signs, right, that's something you have to be on the lookout for if you're a bus driver. Trembley Bus Company desperately needs school bus drivers, monitors, and van drivers. A great job for retirees, stay-at-home parents, and anyone looking to earn great pay while supporting local students. If you're interested but don't have your CDL, that's all right. They're willing to train you if you are willing to learn. For more information, go to tbcbus.com, TBC for Trembley Bus Company, tbcbus.com. All right. Played all the commercials.